A few days later, Kai had just finished her daily inspection of the environmental section when an alarm called her forward to the bridge.
What's happened?
Empire Line's Princess Philomena just arrived in system, squalling like a banshee. Apparently, the pirates hit Bissonnette and have taken over the government. Blew through the planetary space militia as if they weren't there. Threatened to scorch the cities if the government didn't give in. They're imposing tariffs and blowing up ships that don't cooperate, just like they did to Vata, they're saying.
As we expected. Do they have a name for themselves?
The Deep Space Benevolent Association. Commanded by, again, no surprise, one Gamus Turek.
Rafe gestured at the screen.
This is what he looks like, they think.
He was tall, dark, and missed handsome by only a small margin.
He's probably charming. Rogues often are.
Ouch. Actually, they're saying he's terrifying. Can go from calm to hysterical in a nanosecond and kills on whim.
Huh. Kai studied the picture. He looked older than she was, younger than Osman or her father. He wore an outfit that looked like leather or a good synthetic, the deep burgundy jacket decorated with strips of metal, probably bonded to personal armor. The pants, an even darker shade, not quite black, had a burgundy stripe up the outer leg. Black boots, of course. One hand gloved, with metallic strips that were probably useful in a bar fight. The other bare, showing a tattoo, the design half hidden in this view.
He's certainly dressing the part, isn't he? Big bad pirate chief.
I suppose, yes. Only wants a hat with a feather.
He'll have it on his helmet. Flamboyance is useful, of course.
Yes. There's only one vid clip of any of his people.
Rafe called up the next image. Turek was standing, arms crossed, while two men in burgundy ship suits seemed to be searching someone, and a third read from a list.
Same color, different fabric.
I never knew you were so interested in clothes.
Clothes are data. He's chosen those clothes for a reason. If we understand that, we know something about him. We can see, for instance, that he prefers a showier material for his outfit than they wear. No problems with privilege, I'd say. The color? That's trickier. If we knew where he was from, what his background was, that would help. Colors mean things to people, but not the same thing to all people.
Red without having to flaunt it?
He's not worried about flaunting. He's a peacock for vanity, I'd say. No, the burgundy has a reason. Red plus. Fire and smoke? No, he'd go more orange. Red and black, maybe. Danger and death. Interesting.
I don't see what difference it makes what he wears. What he does tells us who he is, what he's really like.
What he wears tells us who he thinks he is. Military psych class. Understand your enemy's viewpoint.
Give me enough weapons, and I don't need to understand my enemy. Just blow them away.
Understand them, and they'll put themselves in your sights. Much more efficient.
I suppose.
I would not have suspected you of subtlety, Captain.
The others gave Rafe a sharp glance.
Hardly that, Rafe. Simple, good, straightforward military analysis.
Be that as it may, what are you going to do about this fellow?
Kill him! When we can, at least.
The Captain's Guild buzzed like a kicked beehive. In-system captains, long-haul captains, all talking at once by the noise level. Kai signed in with the reception clerk.
Any chance of a table for one in the dining hall?
Another hour, then yes, Captain Vata.
Oh, very good. Put me on the list, please.
Kai glanced around. The bar was jammed. Clearly no seats there.
Captain Vata?
There, across the reception area, she caught sight of Captain Argelos.
A word, if you please.
Kai noticed as she moved toward him that a convenient lane opened up for her. No one else spoke to her, but they were obviously aware of her presence. No wonder he had called aloud.
You've heard about the Philomena, of course.
Yes, the whole Bissonnette system attacked, the government falling.
What you said before. You were serious?
About privateers combining to make common cause? Yes, completely.
Around them, conversations had muted. Kai was aware of that, as if she could see ears elongating and waving in the breeze.
Captain Bisden says the pirates had a whole fleet. 14 ships at least. There's no way one of us could meet that alone and survive.
Ah.
It'd take more of us, more than just you and me.
Yes, it would.
I don't see how. We don't even know where the others are, and I don't know how to fight a fleet action.
I do.
You? You expect command?
This was not the best moment to publicize her plan.
Perhaps we should discuss this somewhere else.
Argelos flushed and his mouth tightened.
All right, where?
I'm dining here when a table opens up. After that, you'd be welcome to visit my ship.
We could share a table.
Kai thought that was too eager. He was perhaps more than another privateer captain. She smiled at him anyway.
I make it a rule not to discuss business during meals. But aside from that, we could indeed share a table.
A woman who'd been a few feet away stepped closer.
Excuse me, you're one of the Vata family?
Yes.
Was your ship attacked like the other Vata ships?
Yes, more than once, but unsuccessfully.
She claimed Osman Vata's ship as a prize.
Kai figured she was better off answering the question not yet asked.
Osman was the family black sheep. Apparently he joined the same group that attacked Bissonnet, and we suspect he's the one who made the Vata family their first target in revenge for being kicked out.
Heads nodded. Family conflict and vengeance were familiar experiences.
So he attacked me, and I managed to defeat him and take his ship.
A stout older man came forward.
What about the ship you had before?
My cousin took it over. She had a contract to complete elsewhere.
Do you think Vata's no longer the target?
I think everyone's the target. All of us. These pirates want to run things for themselves, have everyone paying tribute to them. Our system governments wouldn't cooperate and fund a real space navy, so there's no interstellar force to deal with them.
So, it's hopeless. We can't fight them, and we might as well just pay what they demand.
This was not how Kaid planned to launch her proposal, but it was a moment to seize.
I didn't say it was hopeless.
I say it is. They have more ships, more weapons. Bad enough we have met them only out in deep space, a long way from our ports. But if they can replace governments, destroy the little protection we have in system, then there's no way we can move cargo without being seized and plundered.
One government isn't the whole sector. The same thing that's kept us from having a real interstellar space navy makes it hard for them. They have to overthrow each system separately.
That won't be a problem. My government was already worried just about the attacks on Vata. Now, hearing that a whole system was overthrown, they'll be looking for ways to reach an accommodation as soon as possible.
Not my government. Kesseltinian doesn't cut deals with anybody.
Are you saying my government is...
Enough!
They all looked at her.
We won't solve this by bragging or by giving up, or by waiting for our governments to do it for us. They can't even communicate with one another while the Ansibles are down.
Well, you surely don't think we can do anything, do you? We're just civilians. Our ships don't have any weapons.
There are merchanters with armed ships. Think about it.
Privateers. As bad as the pirates, the way I see it. Probably in league with them.
Not all of them. I'm a privateer, and I'm not on their side.
You?
Me.
So, Slaughter Key is standing up to the pirates? Then how come you Vatas were attacked?
Slaughter Key sends out privateers, you all know that. That may be why a Slaughter Key family was attacked. Bissonnet doesn't license privateers, so we don't know whether the pirates would have insisted on taking them over.
But how do you think we can fight back? Without weapons? Without our government supporting us?
Yes. Is there really any hope?
Kai looked around. It was absurd the way they were watching her, as if some miraculous answer would appear on her forehead.
Of course there's hope, but it won't be easy.
You have a plan?
I have ideas. I'm not going to tell you everything about them here. One or more of you may be working with the pirates, after all.
The crowd around her shifted, faces turning to eye their neighbors.
You think one of us would help them?
Someone who's been threatened, then offered immunity for spying on other captains. We're better than the Captain's Guild, after all, for picking up all the gossip. We're not all saints, are we? So I'll tell you, I think there's hope. The pirates aren't that strong yet, though if we wait until they've coerced a lot of systems into helping them, they will be. I won't tell you more about my plans, not in an open gathering like this. But if you want to know more, talk to me quietly. Excuse me, please.
The next morning, she was called to the station master's offices. The station master, two other men in civilian dress, and a woman in the uniform of the station police sat around the table of a small conference room.
Captain Vada, we have concerns. Sit down, please.
The chair indicated put her in bad light, but Kai sat down anyway.
Concerns?
Yes. We understand that you are talking to ship captains about forming a fighting force.
Kai raised her brows.
These rumors about pirate fleets, I'm sure they're exaggerated.
You have contrary evidence?
Well, we've never seen a pirate force larger than two ships. Maybe three. Our local patrol ships are more than a match for them. We haven't had a successful pirate attack in decades.
Do you think Princess Philomena's captain is lying? He seems a very honest person to me.
Not lying, but he doesn't have your background of military training. Whatever happened there, I'm sure he magnified it in his fear. Don't you find that happens more often than not?
Underestimating a threat causes as much trouble. Have you looked at Captain Bisden's scan data?
No. It's only a civilian trade ship. The scan isn't as detailed and accurate as...
I have.
They looked at each other.
There were indeed 14 ships involved in the attack. 5 others were in system at the time. 3 of those innocent ships were destroyed while Bisden was in scan range. Captain Bisden made it here. He doesn't know what happened to the 5th ship.
Kai looked around the table. They were all a shade paler.
But maybe that's all they wanted, a secure base.
The police officer turned on the man.
All they wanted? Of course it's not all they wanted. You can't think they'll stop.
We can hope so. I mean, it's too bad for Bisnet. But why would they need more than one system?
Kai and the police officer locked gazes a moment.
You could ask that about humans in general. But more specifically, if their goal is control of interstellar shipping, an enormously profitable business, then interdicting one system at a time while communications are down would be the way to go about it. With the resources from such trade, they could rule the known universe.
But surely...
The station master held up his hand.
Captain Vada, even if you're correct and there is evidence for concerted pirate activity, these are criminals. They won't hold together for long. There's no need for civilians to take on unauthorized military functions.
There's every need. Interstellar trade depends on secure ports of call, good communications, and minimal piracy in deep space. We are out of communication for days to weeks at a time in FTL flight, so that even when the Ansible net is working, we need to know that the space we're coming to is secure from piracy. You don't know, none of us knows, where this pirate fleet will attack next. We don't know how many agents they may have on various worlds who might cooperate with them. If they pick off the busiest ports, gain control of those governments, interstellar trade will collapse. And if it does, pirates will control your supply lines. When they control your supply lines, they control you.
Well, that's a scary scenario. I still think it's unlikely, and I have concerns about civilians trying to take on military functions. It's too dangerous. A lot of untrained civilians putting weapons on their ships and going out to hunt pirates. Stirring up trouble, it seems to me, and the perfect way to get a lot of innocent people killed. Speaking as chair of the council, I want it stopped.
Kai bit back the angry words she wanted to say and tried instead to gauge the reactions of the rest.
We have in-system patrol. We haven't had problems with pirates, and they'd find us a tough nut to crack. I admit, a fleet of 14 might stretch our resources, but I'm confident that we could handle it.
If the system Ansibles are still down, you'll be limited to light-speed ship-to-ship communications. The pirates have shipboard Ansibles.
That's another thing. You've told people this, but no one's ever heard of such things. What makes you think they're real?
The ship I captured has one, complete with operating manual. Osman was a pirate, and in his data files, I found evidence that he was working with, or for, a group headed by the same man Bisden reported as the leader of the pirate fleet.
It's absurd. Ansibles are huge, massive. There's no way to fit one on a ship. The power supply alone would...
Nevertheless, there's one on my ship.
The station master put both hands flat on the table.
I don't care. This disruptive behavior has to stop, Captain Vada. Even if the pirate threat is real, your course of action is not the right way to meet it. You're panicking people on this station. We're swamped with complaints and demands. We can strengthen our local force. We can hire mercenaries. We do not need, and we will not put up with, a bunch of rogue traders trying to pretend they're a military force. If you persist in your attempt to persuade and organize the other captains, I will insist that you leave this system, or you will be arrested.
I see.
No more meetings, no more clandestine visits to your ship.
Clandestine? There was no secrecy because there was no rule against such visits.
All right. But from now on, they would be clandestine. Unless you are actively trading merchandise, non-military merchandise, I want you off this station in 48 hours. And in that 48 hours, I want no more of your rabble-rousing. Is that clear?
Quite clear.
Anger roiled her stomach. She didn't understand how they could be so stupid, how they could not understand the trader's point of view when they depended so on trade.
You will be accompanied by a member of the station police to ensure that you obey these strictures.
The station master glanced at the police officer, who looked less happy than before, but nodded. The meeting ended on that note. Kai managed to keep her temper in check until she was out the door. The police spy, as Kai thought of him, assigned to her, was a stolid young man who said very little. He followed her closely on her way back to dockside. When she turned into the Captain's Guild entrance, though, he put a hand on her arm.
You're not supposed to talk to them.
I have bills to pay in here since we're leaving. Come with me and see.
If you talk to the other captains...
I'm not forbidden to talk to them. Just to talk about certain things.
She stopped at the desk, checked her balance, and paid it.
Any other charges, I'll authorize payment by my bank.
That's fine. You have a stack of messages.
He rummaged in the pigeonholes and pulled out a mix of data cubes and hard copy messages. The policeman reached out.
I'll take those.
No, you won't. The station master said nothing about interdicting my mail.
I'll have to ask.
Ask away.
Kai put the messages into her case and locked it. The policeman looked blank, accessing his skull phone, she assumed. She decided to make her own call and reached the station master's office. His assistant put her through.
My escort tried to take my mail. I don't believe that's appropriate or necessary.
You're not supposed to communicate with other captains.
About the topic you named, yes. You didn't say I couldn't pick up my mail, something other people sent me.
About the conspiracy?
It's not a conspiracy. And I expect the mail has more to do with trade. I had deals pending with several on-station merchants.
I'd like to be sure of that.
Kai squeezed her eyes shut for a moment.
Sir, I am trying to comply with your request that I leave this station. That means closing accounts, finalizing pending deals, and so on. I agreed not to continue organizing a useful resistance to the pirates, but I did not agree to not doing business with my customers. Let your man do his job, but let me do mine.
As long as it is just business.
It's just business.
Very well, Captain Vada. I will not insist on monitoring all your incoming messages, but this does not mean you are free to continue as you were.
I understand.
Good. I'll inform the police.
Very shortly, the policeman turned back to Kai.
All right. They say you can keep your mail.
Thank you.
Several captains Kai knew had come into the reception area in the meantime, but seeing the policeman, they stayed at a distance. Kai made no effort to contact them. Instead, she turned to the clerk.
Post fare Colleen for departure in 36 to 48 hours, please.
Destination?
Haven't decided yet, but we've made all the profit we can here. I'll let you know when I've decided.
Any open cargo space?
Yes, 4 cubic meters. Go on and post that. I'd like to travel full if I can.
Back at the ship, Kai told the policeman to wait on the dockside.
But they said...
They can monitor my communications with other ships. I have no objection to that.
She did, but protesting would do no good, she knew.
My decks are foreign territory, however. You have no jurisdiction there.
I'll have to call.
Go ahead.
Kai went on in, told her security detail to shut the inner hatch, and went straight to the bridge, where she placed calls to Argelos and others who had shown interest.
I've been asked to leave the system. I cannot discuss it with you. I'm deciding where to go next. That will be posted at the Captain's Guild. I do have 4 cubic meters of open cargo space should anyone want to ship that amount to my destination.
Her implant pinged her, warning of an incoming priority call. It would be the station master, she was sure.
I told you.
I have told other captains that I'm leaving. I'm sure you monitored the transmissions.
You said you were asked to leave.
Yes, because I was. I told the truth.
You're trying to drum up sympathy.
No, I'm not. They'd figure out that much on their own. They're not stupid, station master. I was asked to leave. I'm leaving. I have some cargo space open if anyone has cargo going my way.
Which is?
I'll decide that in the next 24 hours, probably less. I'll post it. Whatever you think, Station Master, I am not engaged in conspiracies.
So you say.
So, do I surmise that they're annoyed with you for telling the truth?
Something like that.
Kai was suddenly ravenously hungry.
Lee, would you ask someone to bring me something from the galley?
Sure, Captain.
Which truth upset them?
They'd rather not believe the pirate fleet is a real threat. They started out wanting to believe that the Philomena's captain just panicked and there weren't that many pirates. I pointed out that his scan data showed pretty clearly how many there were. Then they shifted to the hope that the pirates would be satisfied with gobbling up one system. Or maybe the pirate alliance will fall apart because everybody knows pirates can't cooperate. But it wasn't even the reality of the pirate menace that had them so upset. It was the thought of mere civilian traders daring to work together, form an armed merchant fleet to fight off the pirates.
It is an untried theory.
Kai looked at Hugh.
I'm not saying it won't work, just that I can understand why it makes them nervous.
Not just nervous, hostile. I don't see why they can't understand that it's more dangerous to just sit and wait around, unless they're all in league with the pirates.
Probably not, or the pirates would be here and we'd be dead. I'd guess they're just worried and don't know what to do about it.
So, how are we going to convince them?
We can't. The pirates will, eventually.
Too late, though.
Maybe. Maybe not. At any rate, we've done what we can here. At least some of the other captains are thinking about the possibility. If enough do, what the local governments think won't matter. Of course, that's probably what the pirates thought, too. It's a copy of their strategy.
Puts us behind, doesn't that?
Not really. Lead time is their one real advantage. They're outnumbered.
Unwillingly, Kai found herself repeating Rafe's arguments back to him.
We think.
Almost certainly. I'm willing to bet that at least half their fleet, probably almost all of it, was there in Bissonette. There are hundreds of merchant ships, several dozen privateers we know about, and that's not counting the mercenary forces.
Which would be very expensive. Who could afford to hire them?
Trying to do war on the cheap is what got us into this mess. Cost is why we don't have the kind of interstellar force that could control, if not wipe out, piracy. But since our governments don't see it that way, we'll have to convert them. But the first thing to do is pick a destination. I want to go back to Slaughter Key and find out what is going on there.
I don't think that's wise.
Martin nodded. They looked at each other, then at her.
I need to know why I have this letter of mark. And why the government cut off our family. Who was bribed?
Jealousy?
I don't think so. We were rich and powerful, yes, but not a threat to the government.
You are now. Seriously. They turned their backs on you. Your family was nearly destroyed. Now you come back and they see vengeance in your eyes.
I do want revenge for what they did. If they did anything themselves. Mostly I want answers. I want to know why.
With all due respect, Captain...
Fight your war first, then ask questions. If you go back and they arrest you, or even if they just rescind the letter of marque, which I think they would, who's going to take the fight to the pirates?
Rafe nodded. Kai stared at the table a long moment.
You really think I can?
I don't think anyone else can. If ISC had the capacity, the Ansibles would be back up by now. And we... they... have always ignored everything but ISC property. That was partly to gain political support for maintaining the monopoly, sure, but it kept our costs in bounds.
You not only saw what was needed, which a lot of people have done, but you've taken steps to start it.
Not very effectively so far.
Effective enough to get thrown out of a system. That's a start. Stay away from Slaughter Key until you can go there in strength.
Where then? Kai put the traitor's directory in the cube reader and put it up on screen.
Where will the pirates go next, and where should we go?
No one said anything for a few moments.
If they can take over the backbone systems, they can interdict 70% of the trade. So I'd bet they won't leapfrog more than one of those systems. Maybe just hit the next in line. Let's see. The jump point index.
A complex graphic appeared on screen, the tangle of lines representing mapped routes.
We don't have the resources to guard all the backbone systems. But they don't have the resources to attack them all either. If we just knew where they were going next.
An idea hit her. She looked at Rafe.
Rafe, can we trace the other shipboard Ansibles with ours? When they make contact, can we find out where they are?
We might, but not without letting them know where we are and that we have the equipment.
Oh, that won't work then.
It might, if we can figure out a way to fake the back connection. Though, of course, they may have figured out that, too. They must know by now that Osman's dead and you have his ship. They'd know he had a shipboard Ansible. They may or may not know about the others.
Not a good idea, then.
Not unless I can figure out some way to protect our end, but I'll think about that.
Kai stared at the graphic.
Back to basics. What will the enemy do next, and where, and what can we do to frustrate that?
If he has the resources to take more than one system at a time, I think he'd go for the big crossroads first. Cascadar, Moscow Confederation, Blunt, Allray, Parry's World, all first tier, all with multiple routes converging.
Let's be extravagant and assume he has 100 ships, more than we think. But I'd rather overestimate him than underestimate him. 20 ships per system, that's 5. He needs to keep some at Bissonnette. He might hit 4.
What about ISC headquarters? Nexus 2, isn't it?
They wouldn't... Oh, I suppose they might try. Nexus 2 is really our trade center, and they do have a very good in-system defense capability.
So did Bissonnette. And the prize is much bigger if they could get control of the Ansible system at its source. They've already shown negative control. They can make it unusable. But if they can turn it back on, there'll be those who think it doesn't matter who controls it, as long as they keep it working. ISC's lost a lot of respect in these past few months.
Then I suppose I must agree that the interests of ISC now march with yours, Captain, and my duty to ISC is no longer in possible conflict. Though I don't think we should go charging off to Nexus 2, especially not if we're trailing a ragtag assembly of privateers. The ISC Defense Force is likely to shoot first and ask questions later.
So where can we go to communicate with them and not be shot to pieces?
I'm sure they've repaired the Nexus System Ansibles, if those ever went down. Next over hubward would be Marikana. 4 jumps from here. It's pretty much a dead-end system. Its only mapped routes are to Moscow Confederation, which is how we'll have to go in. And Nexus.
And Moscow Confederation, you said, is one of the likely targets for the pirates. If they got that, then it looks like Nexus is somewhat cut off.
No, the Nexus jump points, there are 2, though one is very long way out, have 5 or 6 map routes.
Kai eyed the chart again.
We'll go to Moscow. I'm not so sure about Marikana. Maybe the Moscow Ansibles will be working. Post the destination, Lee. It's far enough away that it ought to make these idiots happy.
In the next 4 hours, 2 captains called to offer cargo bound for Moscow Confederation. Kai accepted both consignments, insisting that the shipper waive insurance coverage. As she'd expected, the station police insisted on inspecting the shipments.
I'm already an armed vessel. What are you worried about?
But she told her crew to open the containers. She wanted to be sure what was in them herself. One was full of implantable prostheses, each extremity or limb in its own sealed pouch of nutrient liquid. The consignee was the West Cascadia Rehabilitation Center. Another was full of bioelectronic components going to the same customer. They'd been sitting in the station for 70 standard days. The ship scheduled to carry them had never arrived. Kai was about 6 hours from undocking, well ahead of the deadline, when Gary Tobai appeared on long scan. Much as she had worried about Stella and the ship, this was a very inconvenient time to have them appear. She needed to talk to Stella, and she cursed herself for not having installed a shipboard ansible on the little ship. Stella would have to deal with the suspicion she herself had raised. The station master called her.
That is your confederate?
That's my cousin. The ship is an unarmed trader, as you can tell.
But she is related to you. She must not pursue the same ends.
I'm sure she won't. How could she? Gary Tobai has no weapons.
Kai had to undock long before Stella would arrive. This would not, she was sure, make Stella happy. 2 days after undock, she was close enough to use short-range secure comm to contact her. A strange man's face appeared on the screen, but he nodded and quickly fetched Stella. Stella looked very composed, which with the younger Stella could mean either calm or anger.
You're leaving again.
There's a situation. Stella, do you have the resources for another jump?
Afraid not.
Kai winced inwardly. She did not need an angry Stella to cope with.
I've got new crew. It cuts our range somewhat. Why?
This system's not entirely friendly. If you can load what you need and leave, that would be a good idea. I'm headed for Moscow Confederation. I have more information on the people we're interested in. That system may be dangerous, so come in carefully.
Every system you've been in seems to be dangerous. Rosvarine wasn't exactly a vacation spot.
I'm sorry. I tried to wait for you, but they insisted I leave.
Apparently you know how to make yourself unwelcome. Some ships were still docked there when we arrived. They said undocking was optional.
Stella had not been with her at Sabine. She could not understand the compulsion to get back into space, to have maneuverability.
I'm sorry.
We made a good profit anyway. I sold over half the toilets. I don't suppose you've had time to do any actual trading.
I did. Didn't you see the balance in the accounts on Rosvarine? I left them for you.
Stella's expression was that of someone finding cat vomit in her shoe.
And I suppose that appalling woman who showed up to ask if I had any data for sale is where it came from?
Appalling woman?
For a moment, Kai couldn't imagine what Stella was talking about. Then she remembered Rafe's contact.
Oh, Amy? Why did she come to you?
Because, she said, it might run in the family. I don't know what you sold her, and I don't want to know, but she said someone there went missing right after you left. She was sure that's why you'd run out before I got there.
I didn't run out, Stella. I left because I didn't want to be locked onto the station if you arrived in the middle of some row and you needed me.
So, if I needed you, you'd be here in Salion instead of where I was. Just like now, when I might need you in Salion, you're leaving for somewhere. Where was it again?
The Moscow Confederation. And before you say anything more, you need to know what's happened.
Stella opened her mouth. Kai held up a hand.
No, just listen. The pirates took over Bissonette's system.
What?
One of the Empire Line fast passenger ships got away and brought the tail. We think they may hit the busier trade routes next.
How many pirate ships?
Maybe Stella was thinking again.
The passenger ship thought 14 were at Bissonette, but Rafe thinks from the serial numbers that 60 shipboard ansibles are out there somewhere, and I don't know how accurate that ship's scan is.
Oh, good. I'm glad we're still outnumbered enough to make it sporting.
Kai couldn't think of anything to say for a moment.
I have a message for you from Quincy.
What's that?
She said to tell you that I'm a lot more restful as a captain than you were, and so is the captain I hired, so she may not retire after all.
I'm sure.
How's Rafe?
Rafe's fine. Plotting, of course.
Are you and he,
No. Why don't you tell me what happened with you?
Stella gave a concise, organized report that Kai could tell had been thought out well in advance. Monies received from the convoy captains, monies paid to the Mackenzie escort, trade goods sold, cargo purchased, new crew hired.
Sounds good, Stella. Could you tell how the Mackenzie commanders were at the end?
How angry they were with you, you mean? I think it was somewhere between angry and admiring. They were nice to me. Helped me vet the new crew, for instance.
Oh, that's good. Look, Stella, I'd rather you didn't go to one of the obvious high-risk systems. Either follow me to Moscow, or you could go back to Slaughter Key.
No. I'm not going back until we have more to show. Aunt Grace would have my hide. I'll go with you to the Moscow Confederation, but I still need to resupply here.
All right. Be meek and mild. They think anyone associated with me is a dangerous rabble-rouser.
You? What have you been up to?
Nothing but a little common sense. Didn't suit. If I were you, I'd get in and get out. Don't talk to other captains much.
Fine. See you there, then.
Stella signed off. Kai couldn't tell if Stella was still as angry as she'd seemed at first, or if the exchange of information at the end had calmed her down. The intermediate jumps and transits between Salyan and the Moscow Confederation passed without incident. None of the system ansibles was functional, and Kai did not pause to let Rafe work his magic on them. There was an ISC ship in one of the unpopulated systems. It seemed to pay no attention as they translated in and out again.
At least they're trying.
Yes, but service has been interrupted a long time now. People will be ready for alternatives who never thought of it before.
Well, they shouldn't. ISC has a huge network and has delivered reliable service for a very long time. It would cost far too much for anyone else to duplicate that.
For a rebel, Rafe could be remarkably conventional, Kai thought, watching his face. He flushed suddenly.
Showing my roots, I suppose.
A little, yes. The thing is, who are your potential competitors? You mentioned the research division inside ISC, the ones who wanted to spread the newer technology. Would they be capable of getting a competing system in place?
I don't know. Maybe. Not sector-wide, but for a few systems. I just don't like any of this.
Kai thought of her family, dead and scattered.
No one in their right mind would.
Their transition to Moscow Confederation space went smoothly. The communications boards lit instantly.
Ansibles up. Local authorities are demanding identification and want to speak to you.
Interesting. Hook me up then.
When he had made the connection, Kai entered the ship data, her name, and waited for an answer. It came so quickly, she knew there must be a deep system watch post, as at Salyan. The face on the screen was a balding, bearded man in a forest green and blue uniform.
On our records, the ship identified as Fair Kaleen is captained by Osman Vata, not Kailara Vata. Explain.
Kai found it easier to tell the story each time.
Osman Vata stole this ship decades ago from Vata Transport. So I claimed the ship as a prize under UCC regulations and by right as a representative of the original owners.
Only privateers can claim prizes. Legitimate Vata ships have never been privateers.
I have a letter of marque from Slaughter Key.
Kai transmitted an image of it.
It will, of course, be available for inspection by your immigration people.
And it will be inspected. Do you carry any cargo, or are you here just to bounty hunt?
I have cargo consigned to a rehab facility here. Originally shipped from Gascon with transfer at Salyan, but there were no ships bound this way until mine.
Ah.
He looked down for a moment, then nodded.
Yes. There's an overdue shipment of prosthetics and bioelectronics. You may proceed on your present course. You will obey traffic control for an approach lane. You will lock down all weapon systems on their command. Do you agree?
Yes. I noticed your system Ansible is functional. Do you have a list of live nodes?
Yes, but it may not be up to date. Slaughter Key is still down, if you were thinking of reporting to your headquarters.
You have heard about Bissonette?
Yes. We are on full alert. If those scum try anything here, they'll be sorry. How did you hear?
An Empire Line passenger ship escaped the carnage and came screaming into my last port, Salyan.
Escaped or was sent?
Excuse me?
Wasn't there an Empire Line ship implicated in that mess at Sabine a while back?
Well, yes, but...
And wait a moment. Weren't you there? Avada was, I know that. Something starting with a K.
That was me, yes. And the captain and a few officers of that Empire Line ship were apparently in league with a pirate, but I can't believe the Empire Line itself.
Fast ships, good reputation. Almost as good as Vata Transport, before this started. I'm not saying management has anything to do with it, but a few captains suborned.
But why?
Figure it out yourself, Captain Vata. I have work to do.
With that, he cut off the contact. Kai looked around the bridge.
Well, anyone else think that's simply paranoia, or does he have a point?
Anytime someone's supposedly above suspicion, it's time to get suspicious. Well, that's what I learned working security for Space Force. Those are the ones that can really hurt you. The scallywags, you're always keeping an eye on and have on a short leash. If there are enough Empire-line officers working with the pirates, that's as good as a secure courier service.
So, maybe Bissonnette wasn't actually attacked and taken over?
Or it was, and the idea was to spread fear as widely as possible. Or maybe there were more ships there. The other ones we are pretty sure they have. Or maybe it all happened just as the man said, and it was an honest, lucky escape.
I need reliable data. I heard about the fog of war, but this is ridiculous. How long has it been since I started looking for answers, and all I have so far is Osman, who's dead, and the name of someone who might be the pirate leader. It's not enough.
Actually, we have a bit more than that, begging the captain's pardon. If you'll excuse me, I'll go do what I should have done already and pull some things together for you.
Do that, while I try to figure out where to go next and what to do when 10,000 pirates show up on my tail.
Her father's implant gave her all the information Vada Transport had on the Moscow Confederation. 3 inhabited worlds, one of them the second largest moon of a gas giant. Traffic control directed her to the approach lane for Cascadia, the most populous, where the rehabilitation center was located. It was a long in-system run, as Cascadia was on the far side of its primary. By the time they came to final approach, Kai was familiar with all the traffic control officers on the Cascadia lane. All had a family resemblance, though they didn't look like clones. Tall, big-boned, muscular, fair-skinned, eyes from light brown through hazel to blue, hair from brown to reddish to blonde, attractive in an outdoors sort of way, even though some of them clearly spent their careers on a space station. Her father's implant offered no clues to the consistency.
Small gene pool to start with. Amazing they aren't all idiots.
Not with half-decent medical facilities. You know, it's not that hard to select for specific characteristics. But why'd they pick this, I wonder? With their sun's spectrum, you'd think they'd have gone for higher skin melanin.
They're not ugly.
No, just wondering. Maybe it's a hereditary position running traffic control. Stranger things have been done.
The screen lit again, showing the current duty officer, who had told Kai to call her Terry.
Hi, Captain. You're right on course, thanks. 6 hours to dock. Please confirm weapons lockdown.
Weapons lockdown. Here's the visual.
Kai had recorded a visual of the weapons racks with seals in place.
Very good. Now, 8 seconds of reverse on your in-system, please. On my mark. 3, 2, 1... Mark.
Lee had complied with this, and Terry nodded as the numbers came up.
That's great.
Kai began to feel like a child whose teacher is trying to coax her past some childish fear.
I'll be calling for 3 more reverses in about 45 minutes, then in another several hours, then the final one to match our station for docking. In case you're wondering, these early ones are to clear other traffic.
Kai wondered whether to say she knew that already. Her own near scan showed the other ships. But best let traffic control do its thing, she decided. The 6 hours seemed to last 12, but the planet grew steadily larger on scan, its readouts showing the usual human habitable world with plenty of open water and an oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere. Its continents were bigger than Slaughter Keys, its oceans speckled with fewer island chains. Its ice caps were substantially larger. At last, they were close enough to see the main orbital station on external visuals. Kai blinked. Though many small orbital stations had unusual geometry, usually for some specific commercial purpose, most main stations, where interstellar trade came in, followed a standard design. They looked like giant wheels or disks rolling slowly through space. Large stations simply stacked the disks on their central axis.
Terry?
You saw it, didn't you? Know what it is?
Not really.
It's a tree. An old Earth conifer. Our emblem. Old Mick, our founder, said now that everyone had artificial gravity generators, there was no reason why stations had to look like wheels. He got the design from a holiday ornament, he said.
Kai looked again. 2 isosceles triangles intersected at right angles, bisecting each other. The tree itself, she supposed. Their bases were toward the planet. The tip pointed away toward deep space. A cylindrical section stuck out from the base of the triangles, and now that she looked closely, she could see that the cylinder continued at least part way to the apex of the triangles. Its axis lay across her flight path, the wider base gradually obscuring her view. As she neared it, she could see that the jagged branches were docking slots. This unlikely shape provided docking slots for 100 ships, and they could access their slots without interference with other traffic.
Pretty slick, isn't it? Your tug's coming up on your starboard side. Split your screen and I'll introduce ya.
Kai did so, and the tug captain turned out to be a strikingly handsome brown-skinned man with black hair and green eyes. So much for limited genetic pool.
Hiya, Captain Bada. I'm Tugmaster Stainish Madeira. You're for North 3rd 4. Let's start getting you oriented to the tree. The branches go out in 4 directions. We use north, south, east, and west.
I'm used to that.
Good. So you're on north, the 3rd branch from the base, the 4th dock slot on north 3rd. That's the outer slot. We assign dock slots on the basis of your reported mass to balance the tree. So if you have any doubt that your reported mass is correct, please let me know right away.
It's correct as far as I know.
Good then. Terry, we're ready for drive cut.
Captain, please cut your in-system drive.
Drive shutdown confirmed.
I'll be grappling in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Contact.
Confirm contact.
You shouldn't feel a thing.
Kai watched the station loom closer and closer until they appeared to be hanging motionless a meter away.
Station grapples out.
Contact. Cascadia Station welcomes Captain Vada and Fair Colleen. Please remain as you are until we confirm docking complete. Docking complete, Captain Vada. You may extend your life support and power lines for connection, please. Our next communication will be over your secured lines.
Understood.
The screen flickered and went off, only to light again moments later as the dockside crew connected Fair Colleen's umbilicals to the station. The face on the screen was a female version of the tug captain's.
Welcome again. We will need you to give our immigration officers access, please, within an hour, to inspect your weapons and ascertain crew identity.
Kai wondered if the customs officers would also show a family resemblance, or be more what she thought of as normally varied. The officers who waited on the dockside were all red-haired, though she didn't notice that for a moment, because the biggest had what looked like silver horns curling around his head from his brow to his ears. Kai blinked, then realized what they were. Enhanced implant plugins, probably mobile sensors.
Captain Vada, I'm Senior Inspector Vaughn.
Yes, I'm Captain Vada.
May we come aboard?
Yes, follow me, please.
Kai led the way toward the weapons bays. From the expressions of her crew, most of them had never seen that kind of implant plug-in either. As she'd now expected, the tall man's horns uncurled to reveal a sensor tip, which he ran over the racks of missiles and then the visible surface of the missile tube backlocks.
Oh, very good, Captain Vada. We will now place our seals, which must remain intact while you are here. They will be inspected again prior to your departure. I understand you have cargo to deliver here?
Yes, this way.
Kai led him to the containers bound for the rehabilitation center, and he opened them, extending one of the tendril-like plug-ins down into the container.
Yeah, quite correct. Now, I need to see the identification of your crew members if they are going to leave the ship. We do not care about those who stay aboard. Oh, and if you have any livestock.
No livestock, but a dog. We certainly won't allow him off the ship.
His brows went up almost as high as his horns.
You have a dog? What type of dog?
We were told it was a terrier. I don't know much about dogs myself.
Oh, dogs are very popular here. If he is for sale...
No. He belongs to a young relative of mine.
Oh, that's too bad. He would be worth as much as, well, this.
He put his hand on the container of prostheses.
We have very limited genome material for dogs, and terriers in particular are both popular and in short supply. Your relative could make his fortune.
Kai had known from childhood about the vagaries of trade, that something worthless in one place might be highly prized somewhere else. But she had never considered that the miserable pup rascal was good for anything but keeping Toby busy and happy.
I'll tell him, but I'm sure he'll want to keep the dog.
Well, perhaps a DNA sample. That alone would bring a good price. More if the dog is male and could produce a sperm sample.
I'll tell him. Now, about the crew. All but three might want to go off ship. Your station seems to have good facilities.
Oh, we do indeed. Excellent shops, local craftwork, fine dining.
Then tell me what you need in terms of identification. I can assemble the crew for you.
Oh, I just need the paperwork. Scans are fine. Then you must agree to ensure that each has read and understood the local regulations. We take regulations very seriously and enforce them rigorously. It is the only way to deal with outsiders.
I see. Jamil, will you bring down the crew ID dossiers, please?
Yes, Captain.
In a moment, the cargo clerk came in with a hard copy stack. Vaughn took it, scanned it quickly with one of his plug-ins. Jamil's eyes widened as he watched, Kai noted with amusement. She was beginning to find it natural.
Hand out the regulations.
His companions reached into the shoulder bags they carried and each handed Kai a small bundle of what looked like booklets with bright green and silver covers.
There is also a data cube, Captain Vada, but this saves you printing out copies yourself. Each foreigner who comes onto the station must have a copy of the regulations in his or her possession while on the station to ensure that there is no excuse for breaking rules.
I see.
With her thumb, she opened the cover of the one on top. A table of contents with headings that looked very organized, if a little odd. Buying, selling, eating, excreting, sleeping, conversing. Not in the course of buying, selling, eating, excreting. Helping, fornicating, obstructing, damaging. She paged over to damaging and found a definition of damage and rules for damaging without incurring the death penalty. She ran her gaze over the rules for damaging, for receiving damages, for adjudicating damaging.
It seems very thorough.
Vaughn retracted his plug-in and squared the pile of ID dossiers.
Well, it is no more thorough than we found we needed. Are these copies I might take and file or originals?
Copies. You are welcome to take them.
Well, you are most courteous, Captain Vada. We do appreciate courtesy. You may notice that in our regulations.
She had. One of the rules for damaging was that the person intending to damage someone or something was expected to give notice in a quiet and courteous voice. It is an offense to speak too loudly or use foul language.
Do please inform your kinsman of the market value of his dog. And please inform customs when you are ready to certify that all your crew have read and understood the regulations.
I will do that. Thank you.
Kai wasn't sure what she was thanking him for, but if he wanted courtesy, she would give it to him.
Oh, my pleasure, Captain.
Vaughn led his team back out to the hatch and onto dockside. Kai closed the inner hatch and went to the bridge. She wasn't sure how she was going to explain this one to her crew.
For a society that started with a bunch of backwoods renegades, they certainly do have a thing about politeness.
And it's their own peculiar definition of politeness. Have you gotten to fornication yet?
No. I've been here before.
Kai looked at him in surprise.
Notice the penalties. They kill people for a lot of things, but politely. The executioner will always give the condemned sufficient time to recover from any embarrassing exhibition of emotion. Condemned need not fear that they will be exposed to public ridicule as a result of inability to control bodily functions.
That's grotesque. Providing clean pants for someone about to be killed?
They consider it minimal courtesy.
I wonder you survived a visit then.
I am always polite. It is one of my few virtues.
Martin and Lee both started to speak. Kai quelled them with a glance. Martin looked at the list of rules again.
Fornication is legal among all classes of persons, foreign or citizen, provided that due notice has been given of all relevant diseases and conditions, and that no offer of payment is made by the pursuer, and all payment is made in advance if payment is requested by the pursued. So what does that mean? Do they have prostitutes or not?
It means if your chosen partner wants to do it for money, you have to give them money. They have much the same system on Allray.
Not the bit about due notice given, though, or the part about parental responsibility, or the use of objectionable language during the acts themselves.
Very direct, I'd say.
Kai read on, fascinated. Before she had finished exploring the peculiarities of Cascadia's legal system as it applied to transients, representatives of the West Cascadia Rehabilitation Center called about the prostheses and bioelectronics.
The expiration date is critical. The shipment is overdue. Can you confirm that the expiration date has not been exceeded? We have damages owing if it is.
I'm not the original shipper. The materials were held up because of widespread interruption of trade. Surely you knew that.
Yes, but you're in charge of them now.
I was on my way, in transit here, within 12 hours after picking up the shipment. None of the delay is my fault.
But the expiration date...
hasn't been exceeded yet. Not if the date on the container is accurate. However, it will be in another 5 days.
Oh, we'll send for it right away. We have priority for cargo space in shuttles. How soon can you offload it?
When I'm paid. Because this was an unscheduled transit and the original consigner was not available by Ansible, I agreed to take it as pay on delivery. Now, given the nature of the cargo and its humanitarian importance, the charges will be only 70% of what other cargo of equal mass would be.
Kai named a figure.
Where did you say you picked it up?
Kai gave the name again.
In just a moment. That's quite satisfactory, within the usual parameters. Thank you, Captain Vada. To what account should we direct the transfer of funds?
I just arrived. I'll be setting up a ship account with Crown and Spears under my name, Kailara Vada.
Within the hour, then? Or is that too soon?
No, that's fine. And your representatives can pick up the cargo as soon as I have confirmation of funds transfer. The containers are standard 1-meter shipping cubes.
Kai called the local branch of Crown and Spears next.
Yeah, we saw that a ship was inbound. So you'll want to see the Vada transport balances. Do you have the account numbers and passwords?
Yes, but I want to set up a separate account for my current business. Under my own name, Kailara Vada. There'll be a funds transfer coming in from the West Cascadia Rehabilitation Center shortly.
Oh, you brought the prostheses! We really need them, you know, or I guess you don't. We had a huge industrial accident months ago, and there's a lot of people waiting for him. My brother lost his left arm.
I'm sorry.
Not your fault. But of course, if you need an account to take that transfer, you will have to come by the branch for personal identification procedures.
The listing in the station directory gave an address by direction and branch connection, but no map.
What's the shortest way?
Get yourself a leader tag. They're free to visitors. There'll be a booth as you enter the concourse. Type in our name, and it'll program the leader, and then it'll tell you the best route.
Kai thought a map would have been simpler.
Thanks.
People get turned around. Leader tags save a lot of confusion.